Chapter 26. Herman left Rose. He said he'd finally reached his breaking point. Rose could tell when she took the time to pay any attention to him. He asked her for a divorce, to which she happily agreed. He'd become boring and was constantly fighting with her about Laura. She and Laura had plans to travel. Rose moved in with her into the big, beautiful house on Ocean Parkway she'd always envied. Rose hadn't brought much when they married. She hadn't had much to bring. Moving out was not a problem. It was the best thing for all concerned. Laura arranged the frequent hospitalizations Abby required. She paid all the bills, so Ira, as well as Rose, was beholden to her. Ira had had enough. He'd had enough of Laura and Rose. It hadn't taken long for him to see what Harry had seen long ago, and the doctors confirmed. Rose had made Abby sick. Rose recognized it herself just before Harry died, but she wasn't about to change her behavior now. "You're the culprit," Harry had said. She was to blame for Abby's illness, yet she'd perpetuated it until there was no turning back. After each hospitalization, Abby had a new arsenal of medication intended to keep her calm, help her sleep, improve her appetite, and reduce her depression. The medicine cabinet was overflowing. Ira couldn't see how any of these medications were helping and considered whether they were making things worse. He and Abby had talked about having a baby. He figured it was probably better that she didn't take all those pills while trying to get pregnant. One day he took them all out of the medicine cabinet and assorted drawers where scattered pills sat waiting for someone to identify them and placed them back into their respective bottles. Instead of throwing them away, he put them in a shoebox in his car. He wanted to see what would happen and if Abby was better off without them. He wasn't a doctor, but knew that doctors and hospitalizations had been no help. He didn't tell Abby what he had done until Laura confronted him. Rose, Laura, and Abby spent most days together. He didn't know what they did all day. When he got home from work on the day he hit the medications, Abby was trying to make dinner. Neither Rose nor Laura was there, having gone home for their own dinner. "I can't find my medicines, Ira. Have you seen them?" asked Abby, happy to be engaged in a normal domestic task for once. "No, I haven't. I've been at work all day, sweetie. I'll help you look after dinner. What are you making?" Abby seemed like a normal housewife, cooking dinner, asking him about his day. It was too early to see any change, but he was hopeful. He just wanted a normal marriage and home life. Abby couldn't find any of her medicine, and it had been 2 days. Rose and Laura scoured the apartment, looking in Abby's pocketbooks or the pockets of her clothes. Rose was beside herself. She and Laura waited with Abby until Ira came home from work. "Ira, did Abby tell you she can't find any of her medicines?" "We've looked everywhere. She must take her medicine," started Laura, arms clasped across her bosom, legs apart in a stance that said she wouldn't brook any nonsense. She confronted him in the living room before he could remove his hat or coat. She'd never liked Ira all that much. "We're so worried, Ira," said Rose, getting up from the sofa to stand beside Laura in support. Her voice was gentler, calmer, willing to believe whatever Ira had to say. Abby remained sitting quietly on the sofa. Her legs were uncrossed and her hands in her lap, as if this had nothing to do with her. She was staring ahead at no one in particular. Rose looked over at Abby, noting that she was disengaged. Not quite catatonic, but not quite there, either. Whether for self-protection or because this was a prelude to a seizure, Rose couldn't tell. She wanted to get the medicine into Abby as soon as possible. Ira slowly put down his hat and coat, deliberately keeping the women waiting. These women had done nothing but try to control him in one way or another since he'd married Abby. He blamed each of them in turn. Abby for not taking the doctor's advice and staying away from her mother. Rose for cultivating and perpetrating Abby's illness. And Laura, the grand orchestrator, who had them all where she wanted them. He wondered, not for the first time, why she needed to control Rose's life, and by extension, Abby's. Laura was a smart businesswoman during a time when few women had their own businesses, let alone a very successful one. Why did she pick Rose and her family to prey upon? "I asked you a simple question, Ira," Laura said, clasping her arms around her bosom even tighter now, lifting them almost to her chin, perhaps thinking this made her look more formidable. "I hid them, Laura. I put them away," he answered. "She's better off without them." Laura smacked him hard in the face so that he reeled back slightly. She was short and fat, but strong, probably from lifting all those little kids at her day camp. "Okay, that's it. Get out of my house, Laura. I've had enough. I'm Abby's husband. Rose is her mother. You're nobody and don't belong here. I want you out now. Don't come back." Ira raised his voice but didn't yell. He didn't want to set Abby off. He grabbed Laura's coat and hat from the closet, handed them to her, opened the apartment door, and pushed her gently. "Rose, are you going to let him talk to me that way after all I've done to help this family?" yelled Laura, seemingly uncaring whether Abby had a seizure or a panic attack. "Of course not, Laura. I'll go with you and take Abby too," said Rose sheepishly. "No, you won't, Rose. Abby is my wife. She stays here. From now on, I'll do what's best for her." Ira closed the door after them, muttering, "Good riddance." Abby had sat quietly throughout the exchange, but now refocused on Ira. She rose from the couch, walked calmly to where Ira stood still by the door, and kissed his cheek. Then she clasped his hand briefly before going into their bedroom. She smiled before closing the bedroom door gently behind her. Abby lay on their bed and closed her eyes. She couldn't put into words how it felt to have a protector, someone who'd protect her from her mother and her mother's parasitic friend. She thought back to Daddy and realized that he had tried to protect her from Mother, but Abby had been too young and weak to take sides. Mother had never given Abby a choice about going to Cleveland or seeing doctors. She thought how she both loved and hated her mother. They'd have to weave a new relationship out of whatever threads remained.